Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of afternoons is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork.
Jeff Hoffman against Gonzalez. Pitch is right down the middle. Called strike three. And the game with a bitter taste is over.
Yeah, I think I'm fighting for my spot in the game, honestly. I think at some point, throwing the way that I've thrown, there's not a lot of places for seven ERA starting pitchers in the big league. So, I don't know what the next step is. And, I'm going to find it and have a run. I just don't know when or where that'll be.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Welcome into WEEI Afternoons in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales Event. That was the voice of Walker, the appropriately named Bueller, starting pitcher, Boston Red Sox. Well, formerly starting pitcher, Boston Red Sox.
Yeah. Are the odds out? Does he make another start?
I don't think he makes another start. And I give him credit. He's the one guy who sees a dumpster fire and goes, "That's a dumpster fire.
It's full of trash and it's on fire."
Like, everybody, "Oh, we're a good baseball team. We're going to be fine. We're going to be buyers at the deadline." The hell you are. You can't win games, Rock. You can't win.
You can't win.
Red Sox are now 8 games out of first place behind the Yankees.
Just remember when it was, you know what I liked it better? When it was 4.
Like when you were closer to first than last, you're not. Closer to last than first.
You won 9 of 12, 5 straight series in a row. The vibes were immaculate. Momentum was building. We could actually see a team nipping at the
winning
heels of the
series
postseason.
Here and there.
Yeah.
Now you're losing series. You're losing games. You do mix in the occasional blowout win to help fluff up your statistics and make your overall statistics look a little better. They did that. They got that out of the way on Saturday. But the Red Sox, not good.
Red Sox or Red Sox?
Sox.
Yeah, let's go with Red Sox.
Red Sox
from this
Nation.
Point forward. Yesterday, Andy, brag. I was going for a run along the beach. Had my guy.
I don't believe you.
I had my guy, Dan Ball. The Ball game was on before the Red Sox Mass Mutual pregame show. And I think you actually took a call and you guaranteed the caller, "Watch." No, you were speaking with Frizoco, who was producing Brian Frizoco.
Yeah, did a fantastic job.
Operator. You and Frizoco, nice vibe. Some called you the Fitzy and Hart of Sunday mornings.
And I wasn't sure how to take that.
That's a compliment, because we were the Mustard and Johnsons.
Right.
Like everybody.
You have to graduate. You have to come from
forefather. Pass it along.
Humble beginnings. Anyway, you told Frizoco, "I am full well aware of the fact that the Red Sox are not going to score enough runs to win today," because they had scored 14 on Saturday. Was there anything more predictable in the world after losing 9-0 than winning 14-2 than to come out, give up early runs, and come just a little short yesterday?
Yeah, no, that was that's who they are, especially. Well, good news, though, if you want to spin it positive, we're at Fenway Park. You know who else is at Fenway Park set to step on the mound tonight? Garrett Crochet. You know what that means?
Pig.
You only lose 3-2 instead of 9-1.
Right, or 2-1.
Yes. As my buddy Lou Maloney said when I talked to him on the way in, it'll be 1-0 in the 7th, I'm sure. Because Garrett Crochet is just a man. He doesn't actually get to hit, although, should we give him a chance? Bet you he was a good hitter at some point in his life.
How much worse could it be?
He's big enough. Really, that's what it's come down to. It's the last day of June. How much worse could it get?
Tune in on Wednesday around 2:30 when I ask Alex Cora, "Have you thought of letting Crochet hit at all?"
Well, there have been excellent. Who was the last Red Sox pitcher? Like, Clemens was a good hitter.
Yeah. Well, my whole theory is, knowing nothing about them, most of these guys that are major league pitchers were the best athlete on their high school team and probably batted .440.
Right.
Like, they could hit back then. In Little League, they played short, they pitched, and they hit, or center field.
Hey, have you heard of this guy, Andy? Stop me, this may be a little odd for this hour, but there's this guy in the National League, used to play in the American League.
People said they shouldn't let him do both things.
Mm-hmm.
That guy?
Yeah, so he pitches. Mm. He can throw the ball over 100 miles an hour.
So says the gun.
All right, Mr. Hashtag gun skeptic over here. And then, on top of it all, he's the best hitter in the National League.
Yeah. Life's not fair. Even Tom Brady looks at that and goes, "That's kind of ridiculous." That'd be like Tom Brady being Ed Reed and Tom Brady. When he was done with a series, he went to play safety, picked the ball off to get the ball back for Tom Brady.
But in high school, sometimes in college, we'll see if Travis Hunter can try to pull off being a good to very good cornerback and a good to very good receiver this season.
But Garrett Crochet will be on the mound tonight against the Reds are in town. Old friend Tito Francona will be here.
Hard to root against Tito.
Are we still saying these are important games, important series, or have we kind of given up?
Nah.
I feel like we've kind of waved the white flag. We've kind of said it's summer. It is so slow in Red Sox Nation right now that we're looking at...
How slow is it?
We're looking at NHL free agency and NBA free agency as like, oh, well, that could be interesting. Let's see what the Bruins do.
That was a tumbleweed that just blew by our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio.
Man, that's a bad level of bad when the Bruins are relevant again.
They're much more dynamic to talk about right now, or
they
at least
just drafted
today.
A future star. They could trade their star to reacquire another star. At least there's...
And also, one of their stars may stage a dramatic homecoming as well. I'm with Hart. I can't believe it. The Bruins on Monday, June 30th, 2025, are far more interesting than the Red Sox.
Because part of what hurts the
Red Sox, whatever,
is you people got it out of the way early, Fitzy.
205 Stiz, mark it
down. This is more just you. Okay. You got what you wanted earlier rather than later.
Wait, why
and
me?
Anthony and Meyer and those guys are playing in the big leagues.
You didn't want them?
I did, but that was the carrot on the horizon. Like, oh, at some point, we'll get to root for these young guys.
Yeah.
Well, the young guys are here. The team still stinks, and they're not winning baseball
games.
There's
no veteran ballast on this team. Who can you lean on? With Bregman out, who can you lean on to carry you? Like, the kids need time to mature. We thought there would be enough veterans.
David Hamilton.
Hey, side note, by the way, did you know David Hamilton dropped my kids off earlier this morning in your...
Great story.
Shut up. In your... Well, this is germane to you because you're Mr. Number One
Wiggins?
David Hamilton fan. David Hamilton didn't realize you used to play for the YD Red Sox. My son's best friend had his glove autographed by David Hamilton. I was like, there's one person I work with who would be mildly interested in that. End of story.
And why are they the YD Red Sox?
Yarmouth Dennis.
Yeah, but the high school is Dennis Yarmouth.
That's a great question.
YD and DY.
It's DY High, but they're the YD Sox.
Yeah. Okay, see, you wanted to yell at me and say something snarky
and
stupid.
No, 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 I didn't.
And then you realized, wait, it's a decent question.
No, you prejudged me on that one. I didn't actually. I was thinking it through myself, like, YDDY? That's not,
it's a little weird.
It's a skosh weird.
Same towns,
yep.
Same letters.
Same field, same
like,
everything.
What are we doing? How
boring.
Come one gets top? Maybe shared billing, like negotiated billing?
Oh, sorry, Stiz. How would things at the barbecue this weekend with Sam Adams and your friends? Tell me, huh?
Seems offensive. Who are we offending early in this show? As long as you don't break out...
You're not the only one who's allowed to say, I'm in a mood today. I just
don't break out the Anthony family imitation that you did when Anthony was in the stands. I feel like that is one we can just leave for...
Or how about
shows.
The Leah Anthony?
Okay, all right.
All right.
Boston Red Sox, 8 games out. Dan Ball and I were actually having this conversation on the way in, and Dan Ball is alongside here in the Fenway studio, so
hey,
I'll let him chime in. Are we dangerously close if you are the Red Sox?
Mm-hmm.
If you're Breslow,
mm-hmm.
who keeps telling us
mm-hmm.
they're going to be buyers. Told Greg Hill last Thursday, late last week sometime. Oh, yeah, we'll be adding to the 2025 Boston Red Sox.
So what he means, though,
to what end?
We'll be adding to the Red Sox because when we trade our stars, we'll be getting players in return that we're going to play.
I don't think that was what he...
That is.
Yeah, that's we would be looking to improve our team.
Improve.
Okay.
Improve.
Well,
that's so vague.
I was told
that's
the
vague.
Are you a better team
vague.
Without Jaren Duran?
No. Can you be much worse?
But I mean, you could trade for players and say maybe you get a 2-for-1. Are you a better team? No. So he is saying
I love a BOGO.
They're trying to be a better team, or was saying that. Now that could change as you continue to lose games, because at some point we don't want to acknowledge this. We don't want to acknowledge this, but at some point.
But we're going to.
Trading Aroldis Chapman is the right thing to do.
Oh, that needs to happen before the All-Star break.
Right?
Like let's
those
just...
are things, if you're going to just put your big boy pants and glasses on and look at the situation, you can dream you're a contender. You're now, there's 3 teams ahead of you outside of the wild card picture. You're 3 games back. Rangers and Guardians are 2.5 back. Angels are 2 back. Like, you're basically one of the worst teams in the American League.
Oh, but you're a hot week from being right in it. But you're a cold week from being out of it.
But you don't have a lot of hot weeks, and you have plenty of not hot weeks.
Yeah, you're in one.
That's
as a matter of fact.
This feels like
this
an
is
extended
a cold week.
Week.
This is a long week. An ice
10-day vacation. Instead
so what are
the
they?
7.
Okay, since the Devers deal, so that Friday night they go into San Francisco, pick up the 9-5 win.
Chapman.
Oh my God! Stared him down. We are on a heater.
We're never going to lose
since then,
again.
Since then, what are they? They lost 2-5.
Crappy.
So they have lost 7 of their last 8. Way to capitalize on all the momentum through those series, including taking 5 of 6 from your rival Yankees, who continue to sit atop the AL East without even putting forth their representative best effort.
Well, and if you look at it, I mean, we could use the Walker Buehler comments as sort of a leaping off point. After last start, he basically said, I'm going to paraphrase here, Dan Ball, sometimes you got to stop, you know, fooling yourself or lying to yourself. He knows he's toast. He still knows he's toast.
Mm-hmm.
And they still keep putting him out there. You think he's the only one who knows he's toast? It's why we kind of ignored the Alex Cora comment about him. Like, oh, he's still got good stuff. And like, he doesn't think he has good stuff.
Yeah.
So your manager can say you have good stuff. But if the guy himself who holds the ball in his hand and looks 60 feet at a major leaguer and says, well, I'm probably not going to get this guy out.
Whenever you hear your pitcher say, well, let's see how this goes.
Right.
Nope, that's not what you want. And I'm guaranteeing you. I am no soothsayer, nor have I played one on television, but I am guaranteeing you Walker Buehler will not be with the Red Sox by the end of July. He will go back to L.A., like I mentioned last week, and magically, through the power of Dodger, Mookie, and Dave Roberts mania, will rediscover his form and be a dominant reliever once again. He will be a factor for the Dodgers going down the street. This is karma. This is how these things work out. It just wasn't meant to be here. Like, he can still hit 95, 96 on the gun. The problem is, it's right down the middle of the plate.
Oh, yeah, his problem is either home run allowed or walk a guy. Like, that's kind of his sweet spot right now as a pitcher.
Yeah, there's a reason why his name's Walker.
It's a terror. I'm telling you, it was bad at birth. Is that his real name? I've never even
Walker? Heard. It's a great name.
For a Texas Ranger, okay. Not for a pitcher.
That's a good point.
You would name your, if you wanted your son to be
Heater.
A major league pitcher,
I would name him.
One of the last things you'd name him is Walker.
I'd probably name him Ricky.
Clearly.
Walker Heater. Anthony Buehler.
Walker Anthony Buehler. I would start going by W. Anthony Buehler will take the mound for the Dodgers.
All right,
August.
Red Sox fans, W. Anthony Buehler on the mound tonight.
What you got to do?
How are you?
But I know there's not a lot going on, right? There's a lot and not a lot all at once, I guess. Would be the way I describe it in the sports world. Like, there's not a lot of games for us in
there's
Boston.
Plenty
there's
plenty to talk about. There's nothing consequential.
And we're on the eve. We are going to get into it today. We're on the eve of both NBA and NHL free agency. Dan Ball, NHL free agency starts when?
Tomorrow at noon.
And NBA free agency starts when?
Technically tonight at 6, but not until a couple days from then when they can actually sign the
contract. Are these the legal tampering period?
Yes, July 6th. It doesn't start till then, but we'll hear about probably like 9 big-name players will switch teams in the next 3 days, but it hasn't started yet. Tune in to the 6 to see what happens.
Breaking news from Shams on Pat McAfee today, Andy. There's going to be a lot of big deals.
Of course there is.
What?
Isn't that crazy? There's going to be a lot of big deals that players are going to sign during free agency.
Fireworks?
Apparently, yeah. Explosions. Wow.
Exactly.
So there are ongoing, and we're going to get into this as well, Jaylen Brown trade talks. Oh, the Sacramento Kings, are they interested? Would they give you a huge haul for Jaylen Brown? I thought we had put these to bed after draft night. You made it through draft night. Sort of that theory, if they wanted to make a big deal, wouldn't they want the picks and that to unfold and change in that sense? Didn't happen, but there's continued Jaylen Brown rumors. There's lots of talk about Luke Kornet and Al Horford, guys that might be going, guys that might be staying in Sam Hauser. So we'll get into some Celtics a little bit later on. We will talk about my guy Hagans. Out of BC.
Oh, he's
my guy.
He's your guy now?
He was the one name I talked about pre-draft, and we got him, so I'm going with he's my guy.
Oh, you claim firsties on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been high on him for a while.
I've liked him ever since found out who he was.
As the cinephile and resident pop culture nerd, I've always been a fan of Geeky, so I'm glad the Bruins locked him up.
We have some Bruins talk, some Celtics talk. We're going to have a little Red Sox talk at 2:30. Our guy Brad Foe going to join us here at Fenway Park
baseball.
In the studio. We're going to talk about an interesting topic that kind of fell into my ears, so to speak.
Private detective work?
A little bit. Something that is being reported in the city of Boston regarding the Rafi Devers trade, or at least talked about openly like it is a fact, which, according to Brad Foe and others that we've talked to, just flat out isn't true. So we're going to debunk some rumors. We're going to debunk some reports around 2:30 when Brad Foe joins us. But right now it is about the state of the Boston Red Sox. What's the biggest issue with this team right now? Will we continue? Sometimes we say, what do you count on that they're good at?
Yeah.
Let's flip it sideways because, you know, it's sort of like when we do winner of the week and every once in a while we're like, no one won the week. We got to do loser of the week.
It has been hard recently.
Let's not do what the Red Sox are good at. What's the biggest issue right now with the Boston Red Sox? If you had a little magic wand, if you were Glinda the Good Witch and could just, bing, fix something, what would one thing you'd fix right now?
C-O-N, Sistensky.
Nailed it.
What up? Who are you? Shut up.
He's a cinephile. He's not a speller.
Consistency. They don't do anything consistently. The only thing they do consistently is frustrate the dickens out of us. They can never pitch and hit consistently together. Like, oh, man, they scored 14 runs on Saturday. They got lit up on Friday night. Oh, they couldn't hit on Sunday as well. There is no consistency on this team, Andy, because there are not enough veterans that you can count on. I'm sorry, Trevor Story, not good enough to carry an offense. Alex Bregman, not coming back anytime soon, probably because he's making sure that quad is all healed up so he can get paid a ton more money from the Red Sox. Why? Because they desperately need him because he was the most consistent player on the team earlier this season. You're rife with rookies. One week, Garrett Whitlock is awesome. He and Slayton are the best. The next week, they absolutely blow. Basically, you have Chapman, bad calls, bad base running, a bunch of rookies, and no one you can count on. It is the most inconsistent Red Sox team that I can possibly remember.
So I have something that they are consistently doing that I would eliminate or at least improve on greatly.
Losing.
Well, no, that is obviously one of them. Strikeouts. If I could fix one thing, they would strike out a lot less. Like yesterday was a relatively low day for them, 9 strikeouts.
Oh,
so one-third of your outs came in which the other team didn't need to do anything. You didn't put the ball in play. You didn't put any pressure. And I was watching the broadcast, and Will Middlebrooks, who is growing on me more and more by the day.
I told you, he's fantastic.
He has a lot of snide remarks that I'm starting to hear more
he's
of. That
yeah, he's sneaking those things in that when you like ultimately boil it down to the divorce, you're like, now this is what it always meant. Yeah. This is why you were being snide at the dinner table.
I love it. And yesterday's was, they were talking a little bit about something Ted Johnson, our own Ted Johnson, has advocated for. You're athletic, play small ball, more aggressive, steal bases, do some of these things. And Will Middlebrooks goes, unfortunately, you can't steal first base. And that's where the issue lies. They can't steal first base, and you're not even giving yourself a chance when you strike out. If you put the ball in play, BAPIP. Did I nail it?
Nailed it.
BAPIP.
What does it stand for?
Balls in play.
That is the last
thing. And what was that?
Batting average balls in play.
Unbelievably nerd-tastic stat you rolled out.
BISPA or something. And
BISPA, BAPSA, BABSON.
No, I was going to say, that's the school out in
Emerson.
Yep. What NYU, was that stat you busted out yesterday?
You really want to hear it?
Yes.
Ex-Woba.
Ex-Woba. Is that the movie about the guy that falls in love with the robot?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is there a sequel to that? Ex-Woba 2?
All right. Now we brought it up. We got to say, what the hell is an ex-Woba?
He used it. He even delivered the caveat of, and I know Andy, he even mentioned you. He's like, Andy Hurt always calls me the stat nerd on the show, and then he bullies me, and he keeps me in a corner, and he chains me up.
You do not bully him.
I even couched it with, even I'm boring myself talking about this right now. Like, if you're turning your radio off hearing ex-Woba, it's an expected stat. It's trying to describe that Roman Anthony was getting unlucky. The quality of at-bats and the quality of his hits were better than the batting average would.
Oh, I don't hate that. I don't hate that as much. Now, the number, but just to me, that also passes the eyeball test. I see him hitting the ball hard. For example, the first game we talked about it, he hit that line drive off the pitcher right to the shortstop. You're out.
Yeah.
Like,
off his buttock.
We see that. But they need to put the ball in play more as a team. And so I don't know if my dream, I don't think my dream Glinda Ferry dust would be let them hit home runs. I don't actually think that. I think they'd be better off giving up on home runs, giving up on launch angle, just saying, you know what we're going to do? Like Little League Baseball, down and hard, line drives, don't try to hit the ball in the air. Like those things you were taught by your Little League coach.
Uh-huh.
If they did that, I think they'd win a lot more baseball because I do believe they have some speed. I do believe they have some athleticism. Sure. I can steal some bases.
That's actually the thing that they're not capitalizing on is using their athleticism. Like they're trying to be like a beer league softball team. But they're not. They're a small ball.
Because the drive line told them to.
Well, and you know what
You know what? You're gonna die alone without anyone knowing who you are. Oh, I'm sorry. That was that was what the drive line guy wrote back.
I know, but
on
it
Twitter.
Hits a little close to home.
No, come on. I wasn't making direct.
But that would be the one thing I would fix. And you know who else I think would fix that?
Who?
Alex Cora.
Yeah. He hates strikeouts.
Can we try it on Wednesday?
No. 2:30. You have now through this little hodgepodge of an opening ramble scramble here on WEI Afternoons, I think you have actually distilled and boiled down the issue. Alex Cora is not able to manage this team the way he wants to because there is a driveline incentive or a driveline mandate, and instead he can't pivot a la Crossing Sports 3-2-1. It's always football or food with Fitzy. Back in 2018, this Tom Brady passing attack isn't working. Yeah, we have a really good, healthy offensive line and a young running back that can hit the hole pretty hard. Let's become a power running team. Boom, Super Bowl.
You're going to present that whole thing without the Pro Bowl fullback?
No. Sorry.
I forgot. A Pro Bowl
fullback. I forgot about Pro Bowl James fullback Devlin. James Devlin. All right.
Red Sox don't have a James. They could use some James Devlin. Some scrappy, just going to do whatever it takes to win kind of players.
Yeah. Who is that? I feel like they have that.
Like a Justin Turner, like one of those guys. Like,
I mean, I think Duran wants to be that, but I think in trying to be that, it has undercut his ability to produce at as high a level as he once
was.
Willie
Abreu looks like a hoss. He could probably do that.
Yeah. I just... They don't, to me, play to their strengths. And that's, and I'm not saying they got a ton of strengths right now. So, like, I get it out there. 617-779-7937. If you're like, Andy, what are those strengths? That's a fair consideration, a fair topic. And we'll ask that of Rob Bradford when he joins us in studio next. But I don't think they play to their strengths.
Nope.
And I think that's a hallmark of a bad team. Any team that tries to be something they're not, and I don't care the sport, football, hockey, baseball, like,
is it too late to pivot, though?
Do it.
You're 85 games in, Dan, just to update the board. The Red Sox will have to go. They have 77 games remaining. They're going to have to go, ready? They're literally going to have to win two of every three. They have to go 51-26 to reach 92-7.
Oh, it's like telling people how I have to jump to dunk. Like, it doesn't matter. I can't do that. They can't do that either.
No, it's not done yet. It's still, that's not possible. Well, on an 8-foot rim, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and they might be able, if the lead weren't eight games, they might be able to cut three off. But
sure.
They're not passing all these teams.
51-26.
You think they're going to go 51-26?
I said that's what they need to do. Did I say it was going to happen? I'm not even going to do that. Anything is possible.
You know who was a liar? Yeah, Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Not everything is possible. Sorry, kids. Earmuffs, if you're listening right now, want to have hope in life. Not everything is possible.
And actually, you know what, Jason Tatum? What they going to say now? They're going to say, you can't win.
The Boston Red Sox, 8 games back, falling further back in the wild card, but Crochet is on the bump tonight, so they got a chance at least to win a game if they can maybe score more than one or two runs. He will give them a chance, we know that. And we'll have a chance up next to talk to Rob Bradford, who is going to debunk a report, a narrative, a rumor, I'm not sure what you want to call it, but something pretty bombastic has been said a number of times in the last few days in the city of Boston about how exactly the Rafi Devers trade came about. We're going to talk about that next with Rob Bradford here in studio at Fenway Park. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by MassMutual. The Red Sox fell yesterday at Fenway Park. The final score was 5-3. Doesn't even matter at this point. Walker Buehler gave up 4 earned runs over 4 innings. His ERA in June was 11.07. Boston welcomes the Cincinnati Reds to Fenway Park for a 3-game series as their homestand continues. First pitch of Game 1 is set for 7:10. Garrett Crochet will start opposite rookie Chase Burns. And you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with our guy Joe Weil is tonight at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. From earlier today, the Red Sox announced that Zach Kelly left yesterday's game with oblique tightness. He went for an MRI today. It is a possibility that he could be sent to the IL with Jordan Hicks, expected to return very soon. And from earlier today as well, outfielder Justinson Garcia, known as the Password, will represent the Red Sox in the All-Star Futures game on July the 12th. The Bruins have made a number of signings over the last 24 hours. Marat Khuznadinov has a 2-year extension worth $925,000 per year. Michael Callahan, a 1-year, 2-year, 2-way contract as well. Henry Jokiharju, 3 years with an average annual value of $3 million. Johnny Beecher, 1 year. Michael DiPietro, 2 years. And Morgan Geeky has also signed a 6-year extension worth $5.5 million per season. NHL free agency opens up tomorrow at noon. Meanwhile, NBA free agency officially opens up on Monday. That's today at 6 p.m. At this time, teams can start negotiating with all free agents, but contracts cannot officially be signed until July 6th. Luke Kornet and Al Horford headline the Celtics pending free agents. Fans, don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show tonight at 6:10 with our guy, Joe Weil. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. WEEI's Rob Bradford joins the guys live at the studio here at Fenway Park right after this.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's AUDACY.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed every second of playing with him and being his teammate. I think he's one of the smarter baseball players I've played with. He's really good. Just the little things and his approach and game plan, Obviously, I'm shocked, but it's well above my pay grade and what I'm supposed to do.
That was Alex Bregman talking about the Raffy Devers trade. And that's what we're about to talk about here on WEEI Afternoons. Joining us in studio at Fenway Park is Rob Bradford. And Brad Foe, I invited you on today because over the last few days, I keep hearing this same narrative from one Michael Holly, old friend Michael Holly, talking about and just presenting it basically as fact without sourcing that the San Francisco Giants went above Craig Breslow's head to make the Raffy Devers deal, that Buster Posey called John Henry and said, your GM is basically asking for too much. Let's get this deal done. And that's how that trade came about. So I immediately texted and called you. And you are going to tell me that that is either fact or that is just a false rumor and report. What is it?
Be careful how much information you share, Rob.
First of all, it's great to see you all.
Hi.
Second of all, yay baseball.
Yeah, and three, it's not boring.
Yay baseball.
Yay baseball.
I was listening to you guys driving in. I was starting to question myself.
It's not boring.
No.
It's just stinky right now.
No, it's lousy. It's annoying. It's frustrating.
Listen, I could sell this game all the live long day. Number two overall pick last year's draft, pitching against Garrett Crochet. Let's go. Anyway, that's not what you asked me about.
Nope.
Ellie Cruz.
So I would just say this. If that is true, it is news to all the people who are involved in the trade. I would strongly say that probably it is not true.
Yeah, and I just, the reason it struck me is because I haven't, it's a key piece of information if it's true. And I think more people would be talking about it. It would be a bigger story in light of Devers' trade.
This goes back to the first week of the Devers stuff, right? There was so much stuff flying around, and it continues to be, and rightfully so, I guess, the conversation, because I wrote this today. If we said that at the time, are we going to keep talking about the Devers thing 2 weeks from when the Devers things happen? Mm-hmm. And the answer is simple. If they win, no. If they lose, yes.
Yes.
They lost. So we're going to get more things like this, much like we got in that first week. So they'll keep coming, and because it's low-hanging fruit for a lot of people, and really it's entertaining, but honestly it's kind of annoying in some respect. I love talking about it. I love digging into the very, very complex thing, but some of the stuff we've talked about is dumb. Like, John Henry's going to call up. Hey, you know what? I really like this James Tibbs guy. Let me tell you, you got to add him.
I fancy Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't care. And also the stones on Buster Posey. What gumption for this young whippersnapper who just a few years retired, now running San Francisco, to be like, the hell with this guy. I know Breslow's nothing more than a robotic middleman. Let me go straight to the head honcho. If so, good for him. If it's true, but it still does.
Sure. I mean, if that's what it takes to get the deal done and they end up with the player they want in Raffy Devers, then to me, it just doesn't even really seem believable. I can't really envision, like, Bill Belichick, based on his role, hell, we'll use San Francisco, that famous John Lynch called about Garoppolo and Bill said no, and he was like, well, how about Brady? Is he available? Like, that conversation I can see. I cannot see Buster Posey. Well, would he even have the number for John Henry getting in touch?
And I
would ask this, because what is the thing that John Henry is going to do to put this over the top? And the answer is, say, this is what I want you to prioritize, which is the team that you're trading with to take on the money.
Right.
All right. You know who can ask that question and get that answer? Craig Breslow.
Right.
He said, hey, John Henry, what do you want to prioritize? What teams do you want to target? All right, let's do it. San Francisco, they look like they'll take on all the money. Seems like a good deal. Now, what's the best players we can get under those guidelines? John Henry does not have to be involved in it. I don't even understand. The more that we're talking about it, the more I'm like, who cares, number one? And number two, it doesn't even make sense.
That's my part. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And then the next level of that is, correct me if I'm wrong here, from what I've heard from Breslow, like, he loves Kyle Harrison. He feels like, I heard him the other day say something like, he's going to be pitching after Crochet in the rotation. It's like, wait, he's your number two starter. Yeah,
wait, he is? The same guy who gave up a bomb in Worcester last week on like his second pitch of the game?
Yeah, that guy.
I mean, Tanner Houck isn't doing that well either. So.
I didn't say that I wanted Tanner Houck back in the rotation anytime soon.
In terms of what they got back, you're absolutely right. Like, Craig Breslow says, priority, taking on all the money. Then what is the best package that we can get back? He viewed that as the best package, and a lot of people said, well, that's all you got. And another part of this, a huge part of it, in hindsight, now that we're 2 weeks out, well, couldn't you have gotten one veteran bat in the deal that might have helped sort of placate this offense a little bit?
Right.
Because as we found out, and this is, I heard you say this about Saturday's game, it drives me nuts that that Saturday score is going to warp what we're talking about when it's test. Right. Run differential, oh my goodness. Are you kidding me?
It's brutal.
We see the offense, we see the lineup, we see what has happened, and so you ask what they need right now. You need some semblance of an offensive person. You don't have to be a superstar, but some semblance of an offensive person that is going to start taking the pressure off the rest of the lineup. And right now, that is the biggest miss that they have, because in my mind, you have, yes, the starters haven't been great. The bullpen has been thin. The defense has been whatever it is. But all of it is worse, I think, when you know you don't have an offense that's probably going to score, and everybody is putting more pressure on themselves, just like Jaren Duran said after the game Friday night.
Yep. Yeah, he can't possibly get into any sort of comfort zone this year because everyone's pressing. We were lamenting that last week, and I still hate the fact that they didn't pick up a veteran right-handed bat for the outfield or to play first base or to swing with, platoon with Casas, whatever, because my whole thing when we were going on at the start of the show, what is the one thing they're doing now that's driving you craziest? They're maddeningly inconsistent. They can't pitch and hit and field all on the same day with any consistency whatsoever because there's no veteran leadership
right.
to lean on.
You shouldn't have to. And I know they're unbelievably high on Roman Anthony. Like, you hear that on the record, off the record.
Sure.
That's why he's number two or number three in the order. But still, in the perfect world, he's hitting sixth or seventh. You know, you're relying on we relitigated this a ton, but you go back to the Manny trade, which is sort of the last example we have of something like this, and they got Jason Bay back. And by the way, even if you didn't get Jason Bay back, you had a bunch of other people in that lineup. And anytime you made these trades with the Boston Red Sox, you had other people in that lineup who, to your point, Fitzy, mm-hmm. has proven it, is going to take the pressure off. And so how do you fix it? And I know that Breslow's sick of me asking about it, but the June trade thing, I'm like, you know the window here. This isn't just, we're going to ride this out, or it shouldn't be, we're going to ride this out and see what happens, because you have a window to definitively define what you are going to be, a buyer, a seller, a playoff team, or not. And with this team currently constituted, whether it's because of the pressure they're putting on themselves or the lack of talent or whatever it is, you are too thin after the Devers trade. So get uncomfortable. Yeah, it's going to cost more than you want doing a trade like this. But there are a few examples which we've cited a few different times. Carlos Santana was traded June 28th. Seattle was two games under 500. They go on a 39-12 run. And I'm not saying this was all because of Carlos Santana, but ask anybody. Aldovino said it on the podcast today, that it's not just the talent. It is that clubhouse feeling like you got somebody to help them. That's a big, big part of that. And it sure feels like that would go a long way.
Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, which you can get on the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get your podcast, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Craig Breslow was on the Nesson broadcast yesterday and said something I thought interesting. We're going to play this later in the show, where he was asked by Will Middlebrooks about making trades early and how that plays out. And Breslow said something to the effect, well, teams have learned that the longer you wait closer to the deadline, generally the more you get in return. To which I think everybody goes, then why'd you try trade Rafi Devers so early? Do you think they should have gotten more for Rafael Devers? Or
I think they should have waited.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they...
Too soon?
Yeah, they got caught up in this is a cloud hanging over the clubhouse or hanging over the team. We feel like ultimately we can weather this initial storm of Devers and still be good. We have that quote from him, right? We're going to end up with more wins doing it this way than the other way. but that might be true if you were able to weather the storm. But right now, they're 4-8 since the Devers trade. Their offense is a big reason because of that. By the way, Devers, like, I tweeted this and I'm like, oh, please, Jamokes, please don't come back at me with this. Mm. That I'm like saying, oh, Rafael Devers, good riddance. But we have to also point out the San Francisco Giants are also 4-8.
Yep.
And Devers has struck out 9 of his last 11 at-bats.
He made two teams worse with that trade.
Exactly.
But somehow there's no schadenfreude joy for me.
No, but my point is, my immediate counterpoint to that would be, hey, who is the guy that you know is sitting there in that lineup that the team is worried about? That's the point. And that, for any good team, that is something that you have to have. We just saw Toronto have it, right? Vlad Guerrero Jr. Mm-hmm. sitting there. You don't think they're thinking about him six batters before? So, yeah, it's so I do think that it would have behooved them to wait a little bit longer. I think they probably caught up in, A, oh, my goodness, the Giants are going to take on this money, and we like these players are giving back. And B, probably like they wanted to turn over the chaos of Rafi Devers.
But how about maybe now this makes my proposal that I sent to you in the offseason of the Red Sox pursuing Pete Alonso a little more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like Pete Alonso?
Who doesn't like a right-handed bat that isn't injured all the time or that actually can come through for you? This it's so maddening how left-handed centric this lineup is, too.
Well, they know that. I mean, that was...
But that's poor roster construction. Sneak up on him.
It was interesting. When I talked to Breslow on Friday, I asked him, I said, after you make the trade, do you have teams now calling you trying to be blood in the water? The Red Sox are going to need something to have with Devers. Not really, because he said, I think every team understood that our roster was so mismatched. Our roster was so poorly put together in the sense of, like, too many left-handed. And this is another thing that they were counting on, which is, all right, now we can do this with Yoshida, and now we can do this with Meyer and Anthony and whoever, and Bregman when he comes back. Okay, that's fine on July 17th or 18th. But when you get to July 17th or 18th, that's when the rubber meets the road in terms of defining who you are at the deadline. And that's what they have to do, because if they are sellers at the deadline, there's no room for interpretation. That was a bad move when you did it for Rafael Devers.
So last week on the Greg Hill show, he said that if Greg asked, will you be a buyer or a seller? And he said, we'll look to improve the 2020.
I heard you guys play that clip, yeah.
Do you believe he will improve the 2025 baseball team, or are we going down a road there?
I think he desperately wants to be a buyer. I mean, for obvious reasons. I mean, we know.
The heat's on, man.
Right. Well, that's it. I mean, right? I mean, this isn't rocket science. Like I said, if you are a seller at the deadline after making this trade, then at least the timing of the trade was wrong. That was it. There's no room for interpretation. Because we know the way they were going, and you can say the dysfunction or whatever it is, but still, they were winning games as constituted, and then they started losing games. That's what we know. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if they are a seller, he knows this, and I think he does want to be a buyer, because look at what they do. They push their trips to the middle of the table this season, and I still feel like they feel this way. People might disagree, but when you allocate what you did in the offseason, when you do all of that, when you say what you said, all our troubles are in the rear view, which is a paraphrasing and whatever else they said. But whatever you say that, and then you are in the playoffs the moment that you make the Rafael Devers trade, you are a playoff team, then how can you not want to be a buyer? It's a terrible look if you aren't.
Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring. Appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, I heard, by the way, I heard there's somebody has identified a damn near perfect game as the summer book of the summer.
Really?
Really?
Oh, you didn't see this?
No.
Oh.
Was it you?
No, this is, forget about what the Red Sox do, forget about anything. This is the biggest month in baseball, isn't boring history. This tops it all. I was doing this show with a playtesty guys, and they pointed out, said, you see this? I'm like, Tom Hanks on his Instagram had said that that a damn near perfect game is the book that you should buy for the summer.
Really?
Yeah, Tom Hanks on Instagram. Yeah.
Bradford, is that your book?
What?
That's your book?
Yeah.
We're going to
get that on the at WEEI Afternoon Socials. I want to see this. Let's promote it.
We have as many followers as Tom Hanks.
9.4 million.
Yeah. Wow.
It was the most random thing I think happened in my
Bradford,
life.
Bradford, that is
yeah,
awesome.
I don't know how it happened, but there you go.
Hey, before you get out of here, Giolito and Chapman, if this continues down this path, they're as good as gone within 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a seller, they're at the top of the list.
But can't you be a buyer and still get rid of them because Giolito's not here next year and Chapman isn't?
Yeah,
can you be a buyer and trade Aroldis Chapman? No, you can't.
Yeah, well,
you're a seller.
But to get the right-handed bat, your lineup desperately needs.
No, because you're already so thin in the bullpen. Like, you're... I hate we went through across that bridge with a couple of years ago. We're gonna do a little bit of buying, a little bit of selling.
You kind of pregnant?
Yeah.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Put that on the bumper stickers.
My kind of drunk officer. Yeah, exactly. Like, no, there's no half ass in some of those things.
Yeah, but
you buy her, you sell.
Yeah, I think that once you those two guys, and those are the two guys to bring up.
First out the door.
Those two guys are like, if they trade them, I don't think there's any room for interpretation.
Is Bueller making any more starts?
Well, you know, here's the thing. If Kyle Harrison is ready, maybe not, but I don't know if they're going to bring him up. He's going to be just because of the lack of options. I think he probably will. Cora said after the game he will last night. We'll see what he says today.
Yeah, you know who didn't say he should be starting?
Walker Buehler. I like those press conferences.
He doesn't think he should be in the big leagues anymore.
He reminds me, I said this before, it reminds me of Beckett after he lost. The Beckett, like, win press conferences were terrible. The Beckett lost press conferences were awesome.
Yeah, but this has a sadder tinge to it, in my opinion. I feel bad for Walker.
Oh, what he introduces being out of baseball?
Yeah. Watching a man's career just kind of go down the drain.
The guy was in the playoffs. This is going to be the first year Bregman doesn't make the playoffs. Likely.
Yeah.
Then he opts out.
Saying there's a chance. Let's go. Let's go.
There is no chance, but there is a chance that's it with Rob Bradford.
All right.
You download Odyssey app. Baseball Isn't Boring, the best podcast in the business. Tom Hanks loves his books, and he just debunked a popular narrative that for some reason is spreading in the city of Boston. No.
Not anymore.
No, they didn't go above Craig Breslow's head to make the Raffy Devers trade. He made that trade. He likes the return. And we'll talk about a little bit of that and everything else Rob Bradford said next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
San Francisco Giants went above Craig Breslow's head to make the Raffy Devers deal that Buster Posey called John Henry and said, your GM is basically asking for too much. Let's get this deal done. And that's how that trade came about. So I immediately texted and called you. And you are going to tell me that is either fact or that is just a false rumor and report.
If that is true, it is news to all the people who are involved in the trade. I would strongly say that probably it is not true.
That was Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Also, Tom Hanks.
Best-selling author.
Favorite author?
Yeah.
Like, a damn near perfect legit name. Say that right now. Tom Hanks' favorite author is Rob Bradford.
That's Tom Hanks got his hands on the Joe Kelly Rob Bradford baseball book, which you all should as well, a damn near perfect book, and tweeted out, like, America's actor, like America's dad, Tom Hanks, is a fan. That's amazing.
That's crazy. Good for him. But he also is debunking Michael Hawley's
assertion.
Assertion.
Yep.
I was going to say assertion, but I was like, that's an extra syllable in there. Yep.
Assertion.
That the San Francisco Giants went above Craig Breslow's head and pay grade to do the Devers deal. They went right to John Henry. Rob Bradford says that is not accurate. That would be news to everyone involved.
Bull hooey.
So that's Bradfo. Take it for what it's worth. Let's go to the phone lines now. 617-779-7937. And interestingly, Joe in Melrose wants to talk about John Henry and the Devers trade. What's up, Joe?
Yep. Hi, guys. John Henry absolutely made this trade. This is a salary dump. Dan Shaughnessy's right. I usually don't agree with him. It was not a baseball trade. It was ordered by high up. The timing stunk. I mean, he sent out Sam Kennedy and Craig Breslow to take the bullets for him. And the thing is, he basically, after they won the World Series in 2018, he stopped spending on the team because he didn't want to do it anymore.
All right, thanks for the call, Joe.
Long-standing belief amongst many in Red Sox Nation that the four World Series, as great as they were, came so fast and furious that it kind of overwhelmed the Fenway Sports Group, and they thought, well, that's enough for them for a while.
I mean, maybe, but they got them.
Yeah.
There were
what's wrong with the
86 years without them, and they got four in a short period of time. So John Henry made this trade. I do believe that in a umbrella sense. I don't think he made it in the sense of Buster Posey was like, hey, I have John Henry's cell phone number. I'm going to call him, and while he's on his yacht, he's going to make this deal with me.
No.
I don't think that happened.
The second Rafael Devers asked for extra chocolate chips on his chocolate chip pancakes at the Friday breakfast in Kansas City,
out. And I've told you, this is my favorite John Henry move of all time. He was a human being. This is the most human move he ever made.
Thank you.
You work for me, bitch, and you don't any longer. That's what this trade said.
I don't remember saying that.
You didn't, but you did with your actions. You disrespect me and you're bleeping dead. You move on from him. I love that.
This was a Belichickian move. This was what I would do. Now, you'd act emotionally. You may regret it later, and they might. Who knows when they're well out of the playoff picture.
You're going to step to me. You're going to get cut.
That's what this felt like. This felt personal, and I love that. For all those people that say John Henry doesn't care, the Red Sox are just a line item in his portfolio, it's a business, it's money, it's all that, he did want to get rid of the contract, but he wanted to get rid of the player just as much. And his desire was to get rid of the player without having to pay him later, because you know what? If you're making a vindictive move, it doesn't feel as vindictive if you have to pay the guy still while he's gone.
True.
Right?
Nope.
So that's what would bother me. Not that I have to pay him in a books sense, but
no, I want to get divorced and I don't want to pay alimony.
Correct, and that's what John Henry did. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bob in Warwick. What's up, Bob?
Mr. Number One Red Sox fan.
No, that's not correct. I'm the one number one Red Sox hater.
Yes, I was being sarcastic.
But I agree with the last caller. What Joe said is right on the money. Henry is a cheap son of a gun. And he's the one that made the final decision on that. But he wasn't so cheap when he decided to pay Cora for another 3 years. That was such a stupid move. I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for the call, Bob. Do people let the facts get in the way of their opinions ever?
Yes.
Ever?
Yes.
Because did he not sign Crochet?
He did. He actually they traded a lot for him, including one of their top prospects, at a position that they
don't. But I don't care about the trade. They signed him.
Then they paid him a lot of money on
$200 million, basically.
Did they not? Wait, quick question. It was a terrible trade last year. But had they not agreed to pay Chris Sale a lot of money, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who they also agreed to pay a lot of money to after 2018?
Who's that?
Bregman. I mean, Devers.
How about Steve Pierce?
Bregman's also
Devers,
in there.
Yep.
Like, they've spent a lot of money. There's ebbs and flows to it. Mm-hmm. I get it, and I get the interest Kings has been a pain in the ass. Oh, they're interested in Soto and Ohtani and this guy and that guy. But they have also spent some money. And
those deals all backfired on them.
This year, I would argue they got back to being the Boston Red Sox, and that is why you got that infamous photo smoking a cigar. There was a little bit of a braggadociousness in that photo. Like, yeah, we got Crochet. We got Chapman. We got Bregman. We're spending money. We're back. Now, what they didn't know is we're not really back. We're back to where we were, which is not a good baseball team and not in the wild card.
Because they should have moved on from Casas. Bregman to get hurt. Walker Buehler.
Which makes this more painful.
Oh, they spent money on Walker Buehler, too. He got $20 million.
Yeah, no, people don't count that. Now, those are the ones that I don't love, those cheap Giolito and Walker Buehler trying to get a deal.
I wouldn't say those are cheap. Giolito got,
they're trying to get a deal there, and everything was trying to get a deal. But they do spend some money. Boston Red Sox, they traded Devers, but John Henry did not actually make the call, literally, to make the trade. He figuratively did and told Breslow to do it, and he got some return that he liked. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. It's time for the three-point stance. And that's why I'm going to tell you we have a legendary, historic matchup tonight at Fenway Park. But I'm not talking about the pitching matchup. I'll tell you what it is next here on WEEI Afternoons, three-point stance.